Hi, welcome to the Cake Adjacent Podcast, a once-a-week-ish update on all things food, family, community, gardening, whatever. We call it Sidecar. If it has to do with the rituals around food and holidays, making food or taking it places, or remembering what we were eating during important times in our lives, we'll talk about it here. I am your host and bestie, Jen Coleslaw, coming to you from the very damp and now springtime suburbs of Northern Virginia. Hi, friends. Long time no record. I hope you haven't forgotten all about me. I haven't forgotten about you. Things have been unhinged lately, and I feel like I haven't had a lot of control over stuff going on around me. And so carving out time out of chaos has been something beyond my ability. So this podcast will be a bunch of catch-up, a little bit of complaining, maybe some grace for all of us, and of course the food holidays for the rest of March. The rest of March. Can you believe that it's spring already? I feel like we hardly had winter, and I know a lot of folks don't like the cold, but I always grew up and still believe that winter is a time of rest for wildlife, for nature, and for us. My dad would shut down his operation right around Thanksgiving and spend a few months resting and resetting and looking at plant and seed catalogs. He'd work on his ship's models, and he'd meet his friends for coffee and feed the birds, and he'd make plant lists to send to all the nurseries where he did business so they'd start everything in the greenhouse or order from specialists for spring. He'd slowly ramp back up again right around St. Patrick's Day. Usually one of the weekends of March or April, Dad would come up to Providence with his rototiller and turn over the garden at the Ring Street house. And we'd have grinders, which are hoagies or submarine sandwiches, depending on where you are in the country, and then head back to Connecticut. He was already sick when we bought this house in Virginia, so he never got to see the big garden that we built and that we struggle with every year. But the lack of the cold weather means there's no break. There's no rest. There's no reset. There's just work all the time, plus the holidays. And there's just not enough hours in the dark, short days to get all the things you need or want to get done. And the pressure to do all the things is overwhelming. And now it's spring, and I haven't cleaned out the greenhouse or started any seeds because I don't have the downtime to do it. And lately, and I mean that by I mean the last several years, I feel like time is moving way too fast and I'm just standing still. It feels like a movie where everything is speeded up, but the character on the camera is trained on is not moving at all. I don't know if that is just change happening and I don't want it to, or if I just keep getting sick and I'm stuck in this prone position where all the things happen around me but without me. And then the last month it's hit me really hard because after my trip to the emergency room at the end of January for what turned out to be just an irritated gallbladder, which hasn't even bothered me since, all the tests they ran indicated that my cancer had metastasized because there are all of these tumors on my spine, and with all the other tests suggesting bone marrow irregularities in the form of lymphoma or multiple myeloma. And so it began again, this whole hurry up and wait, the endless tests and scans and imaging and the vague responses from the specialists. And in the course of a month, I had two MRIs, an ultrasound, two CAT scans, a full body x-ray, and gave up to about 20 vials of blood for tests only to find out, well, I guess it doesn't look quite like a malignancy, and even though you have all the markers for it, except that you're not having constant infections, I guess we'll just keep an eye on it all. And all that time, winter ended and spring began, and I was just standing there in my paper gown, flapping around my pale legs, clutching my tiny hippo with the sword of Damocles hanging over my head yet again, and I am so over having one toe dipping into the pit of despair. And in all of this, I have found that my life-saving neurologist, the one that finally took my migraine seriously because he's literally a migraine specialist, has left our HMO, and now there are no migraine specialists for me. And I'm not sure who's going to prescribe med medication, and that is a worry. But I guess that's going to be an issue for another day. Oh, and one last thing in all of this, which is just like the cherry on the ice cream sundae of misery, is that I am losing my hearing quite rapidly, so I will be getting fitted for hearing aids next month. But look, I'm fine. I'm feeling relatively okay. I mean, I'm crabby about the time lost and the way I went right back to fight or flight or freeze mode, which I think you know is a common refrain for me. I hate not being able to hear things. I have to watch TV with closed captioning. I have this epic ringing and pounding in my brain for which there is no cure, and I can see why people go insane with this. And I'm doing work to try to figure out how not to make joy a mere crumb in my life, and I'm trying to unstick my feet in those little grippy hospital socks they give you so that I can try to move forward with everything else. So here's the plan for the foreseeable future. I'm going to block Fridays off my calendar and maybe as many Mondays as I can until the end of the summer. I somehow ended up doing more work, even though I have more help at the job, and I'm not sure how that happened because I think that's not how it's supposed to work. In household news, we took the old broken pool down, and we're looking for all the change in the sofa and in the chairs and at bottoms of purses and in pants pockets so we can buy a new one. So I really love the pool. It's the only saving grace for Virginia. I don't want to make promises that are hard to keep, but I really want to get the garden going before it gets too hot and make the backyard a nice place to be since the inside of the house is still a fucking shit show. And I have three of those pastry projects just waiting for me to get going with those and report out on those because I said I would. So that's something I want to do more of. And it's only a few more weeks till strawberry season. And I'd like to do a little video series for the Patreons about making jam. Anyway, I hope to get a little bit more balance between work and worry. I mean, there must be some kind of place where I can find a, in between those two things, a little bit of peace or something. I don't know. I'm open to suggestions. So, in other news that you might have missed because I wasn't here to tell you, the cedar waxwings came through and stripped our neighbor's 25-foot cedar tree all in one day, and I can see it from my bed. And I love it when they come through. Those birds are so beautiful. I love it when they come to town, but they are literally just here for one day. So if you miss them, that's it for the year. And so I was really glad I got to see them. And Kath was here again in February when Ben was away in San Diego, and we had such a good time watching British TV and packing treasure boxes, and they all got mailed out finally, and only one has come back for a bad address. I loved getting all the messages from the Patreons who got them, and I thank my friend Jen G for the idea of sending them and for Catherine for making it happen. Last weekend, we went to Connecticut to see my mother, which was fine, mostly because I kept it to just a few hours. She was disappointed that we didn't visit longer. And I felt bad about that. I carry some guilt about that, but I just worry that the more time I spend with her, the more likely I am to say something I just can't take back when she starts up with her conspiracy theories about my beloved stepfather. But I also went up to say goodbye to another childhood home, the one that was actually a safe place for me, where there are no bad memories, where there are only lovely memories. And it was really hard. There is really now nothing left for me back there in that hometown. I never thought that there would be a time when there would be nothing for me to go back to or for, and I don't know why, because I know how time works. I don't know why I'm so shocked and saddened by it, but I am. And when we drove away from the house, and when we drove over the bridge at the house where I grew up, and when we passed the cemetery where people I love are buried, I realized that it could be for the very last time. I felt that thing where I'm feeling crushed and all the air is being pressed from my chest, and I can't take a breath. And I guess that is just saying goodbye. I've talked about it here before, but the lack of funerals during the last 4 years have taken a heavy toll on so many of us. The inability to be able to say goodbye the way we are all used to, communally, with stories and love and laughter and food and even the tears, but together with all the other people who we love. Not having access to that process, to that way of letting people and places and things go, has wrecked me. And I do not know if we'll ever get back to that way of dealing with our grief again. Maybe there's a new paradigm. I just haven't figured it out. I think that's bad for us. I know it's bad for me. In more mundane news, we have finally run out of fluorescent bulbs for the ugly contractor-grade ceiling flush lights for the kitchen. And there's two of them, which is stupid. And we're looking to replace them with a ceiling fan light and a pendant light. And because I hate this kitchen with the heat of 1,000 gas ovens, I really was having a hard time finding anything that I didn't hate. Because there's so little that could redeem this kitchen except maybe taking out an entire wall to let in some natural light. But what I did find is some crazy nonsense called a fandelier. So we got two of those. It's a fan, but it's also a bit of a crystal chandelier. And it's absolutely a little bit over the top, but it should help move air around. Because if you remember, we do not have central air here. We have window units and fans set up. So it should help move air around, and it should brighten the kitchen up a little bit. Fingers crossed. If they don't work out, we'll figure out something else. But put those fandeliers in the office and in the sewing room. But those have not gone up yet, despite having them in the living room for the past month, because that's a Ben project, and Ben has also been sick for the last almost 3 weeks. We have really been giving our health insurance a workout. He went to urgent care 3 times in 1 week, which honestly, that's a record. Even I haven't done that. And we're trying to figure out what's up with him. So it's definitely a house of abject difficulty over here. He's feeling better, though. But that's probably enough of that kind of news for this woefully uninteresting update that you've been waiting so long for. So how about we do the food updates for the rest of the month? Easter is next weekend, and since at the time I was pretty sure I only had 8 months left to live, what with the 6 different cancers they were convinced that I had, I ordered a gigantic meal from Honey Baked Ham for us, and I'm not sure Ben can even eat most of it, because he's having tummy troubles. But I got a ham, a lemon cake, carrot cake, a coconut cake, some sweet potato casserole, green beans, and cornbread. And I also am hoping that I get an Easter basket. Okay, so tomorrow, Sunday, March 24th, is actually a work day for me. We are doing our 2nd annual Birds and Beers event. And on the chance that you're local, come on out to Aslan Beer in Herndon between 9:30 and 11:30, and I will buy you a beer if you help us clean our pollinator waste station over there. It's also National Chocolate-Covered Raisins Day, which I personally love. And I have long thought that chocolate-covered raisins would be really good in oatmeal raisin cookies. It's also National Cocktail Week, and while I'm drinking even less than ever before, my favorite restaurant, even though we've only been there twice, Claire's at the Depot, was advertising a cocktail tonight that sounded so delicious. They call it the Spring Forward Cocktail, and it's made with either Bombay Sapphire or Tito's Vodka, lemon simple syrup, rose cordial, and cranberry and muddled raspberries. Doesn't that sound good? It's also the start of Tick Bite Awareness Week, and this is really important for both people and pets. The lack of truly cold weather, especially down here, means that we will probably have a bumper crop of ticks sooner rather than later. So make sure your pets are up to date on their flea and tick preventative, and when you go out in the yard or for walks in the woods, make sure you're wearing a good insect repellent. I personally like DEET. I like the Deep Woods Off. Is my favorite. And do a tick check when you get home. You absolutely do not want to get a tick-borne illness. Trust me on this. I am from Lyme, home of Lyme disease. I know far more about Lyme disease than most people. Monday, March 25th is a big day, although I'm not sure you want to eat all these things together, but I am not one to harsh someone's food vibe. I can't believe I wrote that because I absolutely do harsh some food vibes, but whatever. It is pecan day, which I swear only serves to remind me that I did not make pralines this year, which is a bummer. And it is waffle day. But as you know, every day is waffle day in our house because of waffles. And I am not such a snob that I don't eat and thoroughly enjoy frozen waffles. They're so easy and I like the high protein ones. Sometimes I'll just pop them in the toaster and then pull them out and eat them like they was toast. I don't even always put syrup on them, just maybe a little butter. Also, it is Lobster Newburgh Day, which, if you didn't know, is sort of like a chicken pot pie, but with lobster in a puff pastry. And it looks and smells gross. Oh, there's me harshing someone's food vibe. But you know that I don't eat things that lived in water. So there you go. And as you probably know, this is a week full of religious holidays. And aside from mentioning ordering an Easter dinner for us, I'm going to skip all of them in order to not miss any of them, if that makes any sense. Tuesday is spinach day, and man, I hated spinach as a kid, and I still don't love cream spinach, but I really love spinach as an adult. I mean, I don't put it in smoothies, but I love it in quiche. I love it steamed as my green vegetable with dinner. I love actually mixing it with rice with a little bit of butter. I think it's delicious. I think it's a great superfood, especially if there's a ton of butter melted on it. I also love it raw and in salads. We've even used it when making pesto. Like if we're running a little short of basil, we've subbed in some spinach instead, and it's very basil-y. Oh, and speaking of pesto, I have to tell you about this great sandwich I had this week. It was tomato, avocado, arugula, and mozzarella with pesto, and the pesto was really sublime. It was very olive oily, which is how I love it. And so it had kind of soaked into the bread. On warm slipper bread, which is what we used to call it in Providence, but its real name is a ciabatta roll. And I have been thinking about that sandwich for almost 4 days. In fact, Ben and I drove by one of the coffee place that is like a sister cafe to the one that we went to the other day. And I saw that they're putting in a kitchen there too. So that means that that sandwich is even closer to me now. Anywho, Wednesday is Paella Day, as well as Manatee Appreciation Day, and I do not think I have to remind you that manatees are a protected and gentle sea creature for appreciating, not for touching or eating. Thursday is Major League Baseball's opening day, and I'll tell you, this used to be such a big, important day for me. I would take the day off of work, and we would have hot dogs cooked in beer and drink Narragansett beer in cans, and we would watch the Red Sox game. But you know, that is just another casualty of the double whammy of pandemic and politics. But maybe it's something I'll try to enjoy again this year. Thursday is also Black Forest Cake Day and Something on a Stick Day. And did you know that you can put hot dogs on a stick and then roll them in cornmeal and then fry them up and they are really quite delicious? They're called corn dogs. Have you heard of them? But you can't do that with Black Forest cake. But Black Forest cake is still good. Friday is Lemon Chiffon Cake Day, and it goes without saying, but I will say it anyhow, that I love all things lemon. And when I was in Connecticut, Catherine gave me a handful of lemons from her lemon tree, and I'm thinking of making lemon sugar with them because that will allow me to save the lemons for a much longer period of time. And then I will save the seeds and try to grow my own lemon tree. And if I remember correctly, the lemon tree that Catherine has is one that my father gave her like 15 or maybe even 20 years ago, and she has kept that thing going, and she gets lemons off of it every year, and it's one of those indoor-outdoor trees, which, honestly, I don't know how she does it. She's magic that way. And speaking of lemon and magic, Saturday is not Turkey Neck Soup Day. Saturday is Catherine's birthday, and therefore it is Lobster Day, and it is the best champagne that you can buy day, and it is Lemon Squares Day, and Almond Cookies with Raspberry Filling Day, and it's Pistachios Day, and it's Warm Croissants with Strawberry Jam and Butter Day. And I hope everybody takes a minute on Saturday and wishes my favorite sister a happy birthday. Sunday is Baked Ham with Pineapple Day, as well as Clams on the Half Shell Day, and more importantly, it is Trans Visibility Day, which is far more critical than ever now that we support and see our trans friends and family, because all across the country they're being targeted, diminished, and marginalized, and denied gender-affirming care for adults as well as children. We have to stand up. To stand up, we have to use our voices to make sure that our friends and family are protected. Okay, friends, I'm going to leave this here and hope that you forgive my long absence and that I can get back on track of recording every week, because you really need to know the food holidays. I really worry about what you've been eating in my absence. Let's not forget to send some good energy out into the world to the people who need it in our lives. I'm sending mine out to Fred and Kathy and Ella and Bob and Ellie and Jeffrey and Mom. Thank you for recommending and sharing the podcast and joining the Patreon if you see fit to support the work in that manner. I'll see you next week, and until then, remember this. When we avoid hard conversations, we're not keeping the peace, we are keeping the tension. See you next week.